these words by Claudio Carvalho. Come, come into the place where God listens, where you need no money, no status, no fine clothes. Come as you are, broken, whole, sick, well, satisfied, or with deep needs. Come to sing, come to cry, come to hear, come to see, come and be ready, or come to be made ready. We are here. God is here too. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us online or on site, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of information about life at FCC Natick as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care, we have the playground down front, and we have Sunday school after the word for all ages this morning. This is the first Sunday of the month, so we will be celebrating communion together. Folks at home, we invite you to get a bit of food and drink. In person, we have gluten-free bread with grape juice and wine. You'll be invited to come forward to receive the elements or raise your hand to be served in your seat, and then we will take them back to our seats and all eat together. This ritual of remembrance is open to all, so please participate to whatever extent is comfortable and meaningful for you. And usually on a communion Sunday, we take donations for the communion fund. Today, we're taking a special offering for the West Virginia Work Camp instead. More details on that in your bulletin and later in the service. But I have like four more announcements today. So are you with me?
Yeah.
We are in June. I don't know how that happened, but we are in June, which means there is lots going on. First of all, we have a coffee chat today with our own Nick Jennings with valuable, I know, information about several Metro West services. So you'll grab your coffee downstairs and go to the chat room to hang out to learn more with Nick. We've got Porch Theology this Wednesday at Randall and Dee Dee's, and you can get more information about location from Sarah Lynn. And we've got a barbecue next Sunday. Next Sunday is Celebration Sunday, and Chef Bob is gonna help feed our bodies as we're all feeding our souls. But we need you to RSVP by Wednesday, because here's what's gonna happen. If people don't RSVP, Chef Bob is gonna go out and buy enough hot dogs and hamburgers for 200 people, because just in case. But if you RSVP, then he'll feel more confident in the numbers. Now wait, I don't know how they RSVP. How do they RSVP? So email Sarah Lynn, contact the church office, and we can keep Chef Bob from buying 999 hot dogs. Because it is June, that means it is Pride, and we are celebrating God's presence in the lives of GLBTQ people. Carolyn's gonna come forward to share some announcements about some special things going on in relation to Pride. You can use that one right there, Carolyn. Thank you.
Well, good morning.
You're good, keep going.
Am I good? Yes. I am Carolyn Williams. I have two announcements from the ONA team, sorry. Ready? Here's number one. If you've ever wondered what it's like to walk through the streets of downtown Boston in your bright colored clothing, maybe your face painted, a silly hat, waving at a crowd and smiling and having them smile and wave back, I've got an opportunity for you. The Boston Pride Parade is next Saturday, June 8th. And we have accepted an invitation from Plymouth Church in Framingham to march with them. The parade route is 1.7 miles. We're usually a little further back, so let's say 2 miles. Goes from Back Bay to Boston Common. Your time commitment is estimated as being from about 9 to 2. We'll travel together via the commuter rail or the Green Line from Riverside. And the exact meeting spot for us to assemble on Boylston Street will be announced later this week. So I need to know if you are interested so I can get information to you, particularly if you just want to get yourself there on your own and meet us in town. Please see me after worship or contact the church office and they'll relay the message on to me. The long-range forecast for the weather looks great, and this should be a fun event. And we hope
Going to be a fun event.
It will be a fun event. Yes, sorry. Number two is that the Pride, Trans, and Mental Health Awareness flags that have flown at FCCN have been transformed by teams of stitchers into bags. We have two styles.
Do you need help displaying?
I have. This one you can see was a trans flag in its first life. There's a marker tote and a smaller zippered bag. This one looks like trans on the back and it's a pride flag on the front. These were designed as a fundraiser for the church and for the ONA justice work, and will be for sale for the first time next Sunday. The big bags are $25, the small bags are $15. And get yours before they're gone.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, your body, and your spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light." The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Today, the light sets before us a feast of love and abundance with room enough for all. Let us welcome the light.
Good morning, I'm Steve.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship. Your response will be, "God breaks the rules." The world is full of unwritten rules.
God breaks the rules.
Rules that divide us against each other.
God breaks the rules.
Rules that hurt those at the margins.
God breaks the rules.
Rules that keep the powerful in power. Let's try living God's way because
God breaks the rules.
Our opening hymn is number 316. Let us talents and tongues employ. You're invited to rise.
Thank you.
Our centering prayer this morning is by Beth Bondurant. Along with her husband, Beth founded the Cabell Lincoln Work Camp our team participates in every year. We begin with a little bit of silence, feeling the connection to people in West Virginia. Our work campers will meet this year. Let us pray. O God, the power of your Spirit is in us and around us. Spirit hovers and moves in every breath we breathe. And yet we are so slow to act, to respond, to stand up and proclaim the truth. Somehow we will want to control your unconditional love. We bind people up with guilt and consequences instead of freeing and forgiving, instead of living in grace and peace, instead of touching one another with kindness and goodness. Let your spirit of compassion and healing become alive and active in us. Let our words be filled with grace and truth, no matter what the circumstance. Help us lift and carry the burdens of others and bring freedom to those who are bound up in pain. With you, anything is possible. With you, miracles abound. Pour out your spirit on us as it flowed from Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we give our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Like generations before us, we gather in the sacred time. We are part of a line that will continue long after we are gone. May we feel those who have gone before us and those who will come after us. As we turn to those who are with us, on site and online, and greet them with a sign of peace, then we'll sing our song of celebration, a new one for the month of June. God's peace be with you. The morning scripture passage is from the lectionary, the three-year cycle of readings many churches follow. This passage is not very long, but is full of allusions to other texts and traditions. So Cindy and I will tell it together. Hear these words from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields.
Okay, I'm going to stop Steve right there. What is Sabbath? Rest. I heard a day of rest. I heard Sunday as well. In Christian tradition, it's often Sunday. The word Sabbath refers to seventh day. So for our Jewish siblings, what day is Sabbath? Saturday. So it was Saturday. Where does the idea of Sabbath come from, thinking about Scripture? Creation, the Genesis story. On the seventh day, God rested. Later, it's a command. It's a revolutionary command for the Israelites who have escaped slavery. It's a revolutionary idea for them to take a day of rest. So like we said, in the Christian tradition, Sabbath is Sunday, and in 2024, for most of us, that means Sunday is the day we're dreading the week ahead. Can I get an amen? We are also getting homework done and groceries. Maybe we're having a family dinner that we have managed to fit in between sports practices and yard work. But in Jesus' time, Sabbath was still prioritized as a time of rest, a respite from work, and there was a lot of debate about what constituted work. Today we might consider gardening and cooking like Sabbath practices. But in the realm of Sabbath boundaries, those things are considered work. You have to do all your meal prep the day before the Sabbath if you're going to eat on the Sabbath, which, spoiler alert, Jesus' followers didn't.
Okay, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields. As they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain.
Gonna interrupt Steve again. We're reading from the New Revised Standard Version, which is usually considered to be a pretty good translation. But this says that Jesus was going through the cornfields. I don't know about you, but I immediately picture Jesus going through the Field of Dreams, which is a movie from 1989. For those of you who weren't born yet, look it up. I picture Jesus walking through a field with like corn stalks and yellow ears of corn. But yellow sweet corn didn't exist in ancient Israel. Turns out, corn was originally a general term like grain. So the translators of the NRSV should have followed the example of other translations and said grain fields instead. Most likely, Jesus was walking through a field of barley or wheat. But that is not the real problem in this section. I just like that stuff. The disciples are plucking heads of grain. Kind of sounds like they're just like walking around fiddling with like the wheat or barley. But actually, they are picking it and eating it because they are hungry. So first of all, they're stealing somebody's crop, but we're just going to ignore that. The big problem is that they are picking food, which is work, on the Sabbath. And religious leaders have seen them in action.
The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are your disciples doing what it is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered into the house of God." Oh boy, this is hard.
When you got it.
Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions.
Okay, so first of all, Jesus is totally throwing shade at the religious leaders. Hear the snark in his phrase. Have you never read what David did? These guys totally knew what David did, but you might not so quick story. So David, hero of Judaism, is in trouble with King Saul, who wants him dead. David and his men are running for their lives, and running for your life makes you hungry. They enter a temple, the house of God, and ask the priest, who is actually named incorrectly in this passage, for something to eat. But the only available food is 12 sacred loaves of bread that the priest put out in the sanctuary every week. 12 loaves, each one representing one of the tribes of Israel that are left in the sanctuary as recognition that God is the source of life. 12 loaves that the religious rules say only priests can eat
at the end of the week. That's right, become a priest and you can eat stale loaves of bread. But David was in need, and so even though the time wasn't right, and even though he wasn't a priest, the temple priest gave him and the people with him the bread. That's Jesus's mic drop. Sometimes hunger is more important than the rules, and Jesus is kind of like that big hero David who became king. Jesus wraps up his religious rules rebuttal with one of his pithy sayings.
So then, Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. And so Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath."
So one more thing. People often take Son of Man to mean Jesus. So Jesus, in that sentence, would be Lord over the Sabbath and can override Sabbath rules. But Son of Man also means people. So this phrase could also mean that people are a higher priority than religious rules. And that is a message Christianity has struggled with ever since.
Amen. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and the wisdom to live them.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. So we are getting ready this year for West Virginia Work Camp, and this is my first time going. I don't know why you're, I hope you're applauding for Work Camp, not me going for the first time. So I've heard the stories and I've seen the photos, but I know that what I'm aware of just gives me a glimpse of what is to come. But as many of you know, the primary fundraising for this year's work camp has been the amazing meals organized and prepared by Chef Bob. And I have firsthand knowledge of all of those meals, not because I helped prepare them, but because I ate them. And even though I haven't done any cooking, I have seen Bob's shopping list for everyone, all the ingredients that go into his wonderful meals. That got me thinking about the ingredients we need for a great work camp experience. So here, I've got my great cook pot. Doug did not anticipate that there was gonna be a cook pot hid in oak. You are designed purposely for the cook pot. Okay, so I got my cook pot. I got my cook pot where we're gonna cook up what we need for an awesome work camp. We just have to decide what belongs in the recipe. Many of you have been on the trip. What do we need? People or people? Sunscreen, excellent. Water bottle. Tools, what kind of tools? A hammer? I was thinking you were gonna say power tools. I have been promised power tools. What else? Do we need some patience? Patience. Sarah Lynn was going for patience. What else? Gratitude. We need gratitude. Sensitivity. Oh, I see a hand up. Fun? Clean clothes? I heard we lose the clean clothes relatively quickly. But at least to start out with, we should have clean clothes. How about some knowledge that you can't fix everything? I think that's really hard when we're going to a place like that. Did anybody say, Abaya, tolerance? We need like double dose of tolerance in there. And I'm not talking about with the people we meet, I mean with each other. Safety? Do we need some safety in there? Anything else? Laughter, we need that sense of humor, Dee Dee? Music and road food, we need lots of breaks. Declan? Fruit snacks, that better be on the list. All right, let's stir all that up. We're stirring, and we'll see if it tastes like West Virginia Work Camp. I can't tell. I've not been on the West Virginia Work Camp. But Sarah Lynn, you've been on the trip a bunch of times, and you're a good cook. Would you come taste this? There's the spoon.
Okay. Ooh, jeepers, sorry. Okay. I'm not sure.
Oh. What are we gonna do?
Bob, will you come up and taste and see if we've got it?
Bob,
we need an expert.
Cook anything. Chef Bob, everybody. Woo! Hey, you try it.
Here we go.
Oh.
It's It's everything's in there, but it's missing something.
It's missing something?
It doesn't have a zing.
It needs a zing. Okay, give it a zing.
I think a blessing would
help. A blessing? A blessing? Wait, I know how to do a blessing. Would everybody who's going on the work camp this year please come up and get a blessing?
Come on.
So while they're coming up, y'all are going to join us in this blessing. Sarah Lynn and I are going to go back and forth saying a line, and your response every time is going to be, the church is leaving the building. Let's practice that.
The church is leaving the building.
Come on over here. Scooch.
All the way over.
Scooching.
Way over.
We're scooching. And your response, every time they say the church is leaving the building, your response is, because love works. All right? Y'all ready? Can I see your blessing hands ready to go? I gotta turn the page. All right. God of blessing, bless all the participants in this year's West Virginia Work Camp, ready to be God's hands in the world.
The church is leaving the building.
Because love works.
Bless them with patience for each other, stamina for the work ahead, and compassion for the stranger.
The church is leaving the building because love works. Bless their eyes that they might be open to see in new ways, their hearts that they might be touched by the stories of others, their spirits that they might grow. The church is leaving the building because love works.
Bless the people in Cabell and Lincoln counties with whom they will work and serve and live.
The church is leaving the building because love works. Bless family members staying behind doing the daily work that allows others to travel.
The church is leaving the building because love works. Bless First Congregational Church of Natick as it reaches out beyond these walls, ready to transform the world.
One more time.
The church is leaving the building because love works.
Amen. Kids are invited. Yay! Woo! Kids are invited to head to Godly Play and connect and get ready for when they join the work camp in the future. You may all be seated. About a million years ago, I played the Mother Abbess in my high school's production of The Sound of Music. The Abbess is the head nun in a convent. During an early rehearsal, I was sitting at the nun's desk waiting for Maria to come in so I could chastise her for being late, and suddenly two moms who were chaperoning the rehearsal came flying toward me. With strangely anxious looks on their faces, they told me I had to uncross my legs. I had like one knee crossed over the other, which is how I usually sit. And they told me that nuns were never allowed to sit like that. In fact, no woman was allowed to cross her legs in church. The two women were devout Catholics, and they were anxious about seeing even a pretend nun sitting that way. Lest you start to think weird restrictions are a Catholic thing, early Congregationalist churches in Massachusetts had huge debates about whether or not a musical instrument of any sort could be used in worship without everyone going to hell. And if you think that's just people in the past, where more traditional churches today split over whether or not you can have a guitar and drums in worship. This must make Jesus crazy. He spent three pretty intense years spreading the message that God's presence is right here in each one of us and we should act like it. He preached again and again against the world's rules about who is out and who is in. He even died because the powers that be didn't like the way he was challenging those rules. And what do? We make a religion in his name that is full of the very sorts of rules he railed against. Way worse than leg crossing and musical instruments. We've made rules against whole genders, whole races, whole sexual orientations. And I know it isn't surprising, really. It's a very human thing, as we talked about this morning in our adult ed before worship. If something lasts, a movement, a group, an idea, it's usually because humans have institutionalized it. They've created structures and roles and policies and procedures, rules, that help define the thing and protect it and keep it going. And surely you need some rules to make sure everybody is safe, if nothing else. After all, Jesus said he came not to abolish the law, but to complete it. That's why Jesus said the greatest commandment, the most important rule, is to love God, love each other, and love yourself. Good. And we took that, and we turned it into rules about who can receive communion and who can get married and who can be a leader and who is going to heaven as if we had the slightest idea of what that meant. And all those rules create the very sort of power system Jesus was preaching against. The church ends up becoming just as focused as on who is in and who is out as governments, neighborhoods, and country clubs. Now, at FCC Natick, we're pretty intentional about saying everybody is welcome. We'd never give anyone a hard time for picking grain on a Sunday, right? But like every group of human beings, we may be giving subtle messages about rules that aren't written down anywhere, dictating how to act, what to say, and who this place is for. And considering all the trauma that people are carrying from experiences in the Christian church, we have to be extra intentional about the messages we send. My friends on site, online, and on site. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate communion together. In this church, this is an open table, which means everyone is welcome, and there is nothing you have to do to deserve the bread and cup. Because God knows we are all hungry, not for the grain the disciples ate in this morning's scripture reading, but for the knowledge that we are fully loved just as we are, and that there is hope for the world when we bring our hearts together, and that there is nothing that separates us from the living God, no matter what rules the world or any church makes. Let's come to God's table, not because we're part of some in-crowd, but because we are all glimpses of the divine. Let's come to God's table, not because we have a particular belief about what happens here, but because we need to be together. Let's come to God's table, not because we've followed all the rules, but because we're hungry and we need to be fed. Amen. It's the tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. And so, folks at home, I invite you, if you haven't already done so, find yourself a bit of food and drink. Folks in person, you will be invited to come forward to receive gluten-free bread and grape juice or wine, taking both back to your seat that we might eat and drink together. You can also raise your hand to be served in your seat. By the way, I had a whole communion service written, then a book I ordered with communion services came in the mail, so this morning's liturgy is by Liz Miller. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence, so during this time we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email their prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Miriam. Miriam is celebrating that she is surrounded by love on either side. Both of her boys and their loved ones are with her today. We celebrate their presence. Other joys this morning. Pam. Pam is celebrating the numbers on the scale this morning, and I'm going to keep saying we also celebrate all bodies. God is present and celebrates all bodies, all shapes, all sizes. Thanks, Pam. Wait. I totally know your name. Why is my brain not working? Come on. All right, just remind me. Stacy. But because it's not Stacy, it's some other cool name that you go by, Stacy. Stacia? Anastasia, that's what it is. Okay, sorry. Sorry, Stacy, go ahead now. So Stacy is celebrating how it feels to be at home today. Stacy has moved to the Cape, so she isn't regularly present in the sanctuary, although she is going on the West Virginia work camp and is one of the leaders. And Stacy, it's such a joy to have you here this morning. Yeah. Jeff. Jeff is celebrating yesterday's Pharmathon, which goes to support Guatemala. For some reason, Jeff spent part of the day with his head in a hole. I'm not sure why. But we celebrate that so far funds have come in at over $5,000. You still can donate, and funds are still coming in. And we support not only the educational support for people in San Maria Ceja, but also our local farmers who feed us and care for our earth. Thanks, Jeff. Gail, do you have any joys? Declan? You're going to get cherries? That is awesome. Declan, we celebrate all the big events that are happening in your life and the ways in which you care for others in the midst of it, making sure that everything that's needed is there. Thank you, Declan. Yes,
you're welcome.
Thank you. Declan says, I am most welcome. We should all be so gracious. Did I miss? What concerns do you bring to this place today? Robin. So we celebrated, we lifted up this family a couple weeks ago, right after Jack died. These are neighbors of Robin and Jeff 49 years old, died on vacation, leaving behind his wife and three kids. And what's his last name?
Mackin.
I'm gonna say it wrong. Mackin. I-N? Like, Google his obituary. What an amazing guy, and just a great way to connect with his life and support his family. Holding neighbors in prayer as you get ready to support the family and celebrate his life. Thanks, Robin. Beth. So there was a family in Acton this past week, Acton, Mass., that went through a terrible loss, an experience of violence in the family. Beth is lifting it up as someone who grew up in Acton. Since I just left the Acton-Boxborough community, this was very much on my mind as well. And so we are holding that family in our prayers, as well as this country's ongoing relationship with guns, and praying for safety and welcome in all families. Thanks, Beth. Gail.
From Gretchen Dubois, she would appreciate prayers for their family friend, Eileen Spear. After battling an illness, she was transferred to rehab last week, but still has a very long road to recovery.
So Gretchen is lifting up family friend Eileen Spear, who has not been doing well, has been in rehab, and is still not recovering at the pace she would like. So we hold Eileen, as well as her friends, in our prayers. Other concerns this morning? Myrna, we're holding you in our prayers this week. I know this week is the funeral service for your daughter-in-law, so we are holding all of you in our prayers as well. Beloved, there are too many places in the world where the price of admission is more than we can afford, where we are asked to leave pieces of ourselves at the door, where we are told there's no room for someone like us. At this communion table, there's always room. Yes, we will squeeze you in right over there. Take a seat, pull up a stool or your wheelchair, settle on a cushion square or in a pew, draw up close to your laptop. This is a table that's not just a table. It's a sign of God's love here on earth, an affirmation of your sacred worth. This is a table that would not be the same, would be incomplete if it didn't include you. We remember that night in an upper room, Jesus at a table crowded with his disciples. He knew their past, the places that had formed them. He knew their future, the pain and sorrow to come. He knew their mistakes and saw the pain deep within that they tried to keep hidden. And still he offered them the cup of blessing and the bread of life, reminders that they are loved, always loved. Will you join me in blessing this bread and this cup? We give thanks to you, living God, for drawing us close, for feeding our bodies, for nurturing our spirits, for loving us exactly as we are. We carry with us memories of rejection and loneliness, shame and self-loathing, guilt and fear. And so we give thanks that at your table we embody a different message. We are enough. We are worthy. We are beloved. We feast together with gratitude, hungry to build a world where every body is honored, where every bruised and broken spirit is healed, where everyone is invited to receive the message of unconditional love. Come, Holy Spirit, come and transform these ordinary things into sacred gifts. Prepare our bodies to be fed. Prepare our hearts to receive a love more persistent than fear, a life stronger than death. Amen. The table is ready. Come to be fed. Come to be known. Come to be filled with God's love.
The bread of life, eat and be filled.
The cup of joy, let it flow through you into the world. Let us pray together in thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, tuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen. My friends, you are going to West Virginia this month. Yes, you are. But don't worry, you don't have to pack your tools or get ready to enjoy rustic accommodations. Because as we say at FCC Natick, some give by going, others go by giving. The only reason that more than 20 people can join the FCC Natick team at the West Virginia Work Camp is because of your generosity. Your contributions pay for the salaries of staff supporting the trip, the electricity in the oven where Chef Bob does his cooking, the tent under which we'll have our retreat this afternoon. None of this would be happening without your financial support. Today's special offering will go to further offset the expenses of the trip, which I promise you is a very lean budget. So if you'd like to buy stock in this year's trip, you're invited to use the special envelopes available for those on site. You can also give online by selecting the West Virginia Work Camp option on our giving page. If you provide your name and address, we are all okay, I just want to promise you. If you provide your name and address, we will send you a dividend from West Virginia. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, we hold in our hearts the folks in West Virginia who we'll be working with in a few short weeks. God of abundance, bless these gifts and especially the lives that will be touched by them. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 461. All hands together to hold the wounded. All hands together to make the bread. All hands together to work for freedom. All hands together to change the world. Go in peace. Amen.